Amen. Chorus, have a special, and then Lawrence will have you stand again for our chorus after this. All right?
Sometimes when I feel down, Lord, When clouds are all I see, my heart begins to question all your faithfulness to me. That's when, dear Lord, remind me, though it's hard to understand, that, Lord, you are the potter. Just a vessel in your hands, and teach me to remember it's the potter's right to choose the purpose for his vessels and the methods he will. Takes the clay and turns it in his hands. Sometimes to start again, he needs to break it. But when he stops the wheel, his loving hands reveal a work of art the way he wants to make it. Oh Lord, my heart can take. So if you want to mold me, I'm ready for the pain. I know that you will hold me till your purpose is made plain.
Thank you, Jennifer. Revelation chapter 2, as we continue our study of the seven churches of Asia, today we come to the church of Thyatira, and let me do just a little bit of review for you. I'll not spend too much time on that, but to bring you up to our fourth church that we'll be studying this morning. Remember that we saw that these messages were not just messages to literal churches there, but they are messages to individuals as well. God's word was written to us as individual believers there. But we've been looking at the chronological view of history, and we have seen each church representing a certain period of church history. And today we'll be looking at Thyatira there. And you see just an overview of all of them there, if you can see the smaller print there. Thyatira, right in the middle, the fourth one, continual sacrifice, represents the Dark Ages there from roughly 500 to 1500. And I'll tell you more about that in a little bit when we get there. So as we've looked at these, each of these seven churches, the format for Jesus addressing each one of these is the same. He first has a description of himself. You see the red letters in the Bible there, chapters 2 and 3. And then after he identifies himself with a different description each time, then he goes on and he commends the church for the things that they're doing well,
And then he points out the sins of that church, and we saw the second church, Smyrna, the persecuted church. No sins were listed there for that particular church during that church age. And then the message to the church. So we'll be looking at the message that he gave to the church of Thyatira. And then we sang a song, Victory in Jesus. There's a promise to those who overcome, because no matter what stage of history a believer is living, we all face challenges. We'll face all kinds of social issues. We'll face different kinds of doctrinal challenges to pervert the scriptures, and we all face those kinds of things, and there are promises to those who are faithful and overcome the temptations that we face during that time. So the desired church of Ephesus, they left their first love. Then we saw the church of Smyrna, which means to smash, to church under persecution there, and they were flourishing and growing there. The seed of the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And then we saw Constantine, where he kind of married the church to the state, and we saw all the problems there whenever it became the state religion, Christianity did. And so now we come to Thyatira, and the word Thyatira means continual sacrifice. And during this period of time, during the Dark Ages, we're going to see how the church of Thyatira is very similar. You see, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, characterized through this. Now, my purpose is not to bash another religion or denomination, but as a preacher of the gospel, it is my responsibility to preach the truth as the Word of God is and truth. And if that's where it lies, then that's where it lies. And so there are some things about the Roman Catholic Church that you will certainly see in this passage as we look at it. He presents himself as the Son of God. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, for the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts to receive your word. And Lord, we pray that each of these churches, you have given messages to them. There are messages to Sumter Bible Church. There are messages to us individually. And Lord, I pray that you would help our spiritual ears to be open to what you have to say to us this morning in Christ's name. As we think about the city of Thyatira there, it was a very popular trade market. There were a lot of potters, tanners. There were those who dealt with making bronze items. A lot of people were involved in dye. Remember in the book of Acts where it talks about Lydia, it says that she was a seller of purple. If you read in Acts, you'll see that she is from Thyatira there. Roman Catholicism was dominant during this period of the Thyatira age of history there. The first pope was Gregory the Great, 590. And so you see this period starting just before the first pope. And Christ identifies himself in verse 18 as the Son of God. Notice how he does not identify himself as the son of Mary there. And so there'll be some other things that we'll see as we go through there as well. He describes himself here as having eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass in verse 18. And fire and brass in the scriptures indicate judgment. And so there's going to be a judgment of God. And 1 Peter says in chapter 4, verse 17, that judgment begins at the house of God. And so there's going to be some judgment coming upon this particular church and this particular kind of doctrine. And it says his eyes are like a flame of fire. And so here, showing that Jesus, with his eyes, he sees all, he knows all. And so whenever he pulls down judgment, it's not going to be hearsay. It's going to be righteous judgment whenever he comes and deals with them. Jesus, remember how he dealt with the Pharisees, the religious group? Whenever he was addressing the Pharisees, he called them vipers. He called them whited sepulchers. And those who were religious leaders who were leading people astray, Jesus was very harsh with them. But when he came upon people taken in adultery and sinners and things like that, he was very merciful and kind. But so his concern is spiritual religious leaders leading people astray. And his eyes see all of that, and the judgment is coming. Now, this church did have some virtues there, and we're going to look at those. The first one is works. He said, I know your works there. In the book of James, we see this word works. The Greek word is ergon there. James says if a person says he has faith and he doesn't have works, his faith in vain. So we know that we as believers are to have works. When God saves us, he expects us not just to get out of hell and then just go and live any way we want to. Whenever he saves us, he doesn't immediately take us to heaven. If all he wanted us to do was to go to heaven as soon as we're saved, he could take us right away. But God wants us to have works. And as we look at the Catholic Church around the world today, you'll see a lot of good works with them. And we should have good works. The next thing he commends them for in this verse, he says, I know your charity, your love, your agape. This is an unselfish, God-like love. The Bible says that they will know that we're Christians by our love. And so the love that we have for God should demonstrate itself in some good works. And they were doing this. The next thing he says in verse 19, I know your works, I know your charity, and I know your service. And that's the word we get our English word deacon from. And a person who has a genuine love for God is going to have a love for people as well. And so we see that they had a love and care for mankind there, for the poor, for the needy, as we do in feeding the homeless. It's love in action, showing service to those who need it. It's proof of the love. Then in verse 4, he commends them also for their faith. In order for a person to be saved, he has to have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and we know that we're saved by faith. We put our confidence in God. We don't put our confidence in our service, in our works. All of those things follow salvation. They're not things that cause us to be saved, and we'll see more of that as well. And so this particular age, the Thyatira Church, the Roman Catholic Church, there were some good beginnings there. And many people get off to a good start in faith, but the Bible says not to be blown about by every wind of doctrine that comes along. And so there were some false doctrine, and that's what he's going to address in just a little bit whenever he points to their sins. The fifth commendation, or virtue, is their patience. The word patience, that prefix on this Greek word, hupo, means under. And so the idea of patience in the Bible is to bear up under the pressures that come our way. And we all have those, whether they're physical or financial or emotional, or we just have a lot of pressures on us. But patience is bearing up under the pressures that come our way. And Christ gives us the strength to bear up under whatever he allows to come into our way, because everything he allows to come our way is for our good. We trust him with that. And then he finishes the virtues by going back to the exact same one, but he says even more than the first. So these humanitarian deeds were increasing more and more, and we ought to have a love for unsaved people, a love for mankind, where we want to do all we can to serve mankind. And so they were commended for the good things they were doing. But then he goes on in verse 20, and there's that word, notwithstanding. So there were some good things. So what were the sins of this particular church with the Roman Catholic Church in particular, as we'll see some of those things? The first thing he says in 20, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants. Now, this is not the Jezebel of the Old Testament there. This was a Jezebel that was in the city of Thyatira. There are obviously some very similar things between this Jezebel and the other Jezebel. Notice it says here that she calls herself a prophetess. There was a claim to be of God. But she wasn't. She was involved in pagan worship, and they allowed it to continue. And notice that little word, sufferest, in verse 20. That word means tolerate. So Jesus is condemning them for being tolerant. That's a buzzword in our society today, isn't it? There, we need to be tolerant. Jesus is condemning them, you understand, for being tolerant there. And they were tolerating Jezebel, who was teaching false doctrine. Now, you remember the Old Testament Jezebel, how she had opposed Elijah. Let me read a couple of verses from 1 Kings and 2 Kings. From 1 Kings 16:31, it says, "It came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him," that is, for Ahab, "to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshiped him." That's what Jezebel was doing. She was worshiping Baal, and Ahab goes and marries her, and God says that was not a good thing. Over a few pages to 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 22, speaking of Jezebel, it says, "It came to pass when Joram saw Jehu, and he said, 'Is it peace, Jehu?' And he answered, 'What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many.'" We're not going to have any kind of peace as long as Jezebel is there and having her way there. And so we see that Jesus is condemning this church at Thyatira here because just like this Jezebel of the Old Testament who had fought against Elijah, the wickedness that she had, she was known for her sodomy as well if you read through the Old Testament. And in verse 24, Jesus refers to her. And this church is knowing the depths of Satan, the depths of Satan. And so they were tolerant of those kinds of false teachings there, and Jesus is condemning them for that. The Catholic Church today, as you'll see in a little bit, is a mixture of Christianity and heathenism. And that's what Jezebel was doing, taking some biblical teachings that were right and mixing in some pagan religion. Well, verse 20, it uses the word fornication there. And in the Bible, when it speaks of spiritual fornication, it refers to the church uniting with the wicked there. James 4:4 says that the friendship of the world is enmity against God. And what Jezebel and what this church was allowing was the friendship of the world to unite with the church. And so he says to them, don't allow false teaching. They refused to repent. He gave them a space to repent. Jezebel was given 20 years in the Old Testament, a chance to repent there. And then you have the next church that we'll see next week, the Reformation period. And so here's the church of Thyatira during the Dark Ages. Even the preaching of the Reformation didn't move this church to repent of their doctrinal era there. And what are some of the doctrinal eras there? Let's look at a few here. Mass. We don't refer to the Lord's table as Mass, do we? We call it an ordinance there. The two ordinances that Christ gave the church, the Lord's table and baptism. And both of those ordinances picture for us the death and the resurrection of Christ. The word sacrament is a word that means a means of grace. So if you want to earn grace, then you take of the sacraments there, and by doing that, you can get God's grace. What it does is it denies the finished work of Christ on the cross. I checked the news this morning, as I usually do, just for some brief headlines and go back and read some things later. But on Fox News, I printed it out today, and I'll just share, it's a long article, I'll just share a couple of sentences from it. It says, "Catholic bishops scrap landmark welcome to gaze and sign of split. And so it had Catholic in there, and I knew my message this morning. I said, well, I need to see what's going on here, there. And so they had two issues at hand, one of them having to do with Mass. The Boston-based Dignity USA organization said in a statement Saturday, unfortunately today, doctrine won out over pastoral need. Now, that was a bad thing in their sight, that doctrine won out. It is disappointing that those who recognized the need of a more inclusive church were defeated. And then he goes on to say two other paragraphs concerning the other hot-button issue of the bishops was whether divorced and civilly remarried Catholics can receive communion. So they were determining who can receive the Mass and who can't receive the Mass there. And you can go to Fox News and read that article if you want to see more about that. But that's what the Mass is. It's a means of getting God's grace. And we know that grace, if you earn it, it's not grace, is it? That's what, you know, Paul talks about, and I'll share a verse with that with you a little bit later. Let's look at another doctrine, the doctrine of the Pope, who is Christ's representative on earth, as they say. He is infallible when he is standing there on issues of faith and moral issues. When he speaks, he is infallible, just like we would say the Word of God is. Another one of their doctrines there. Oh, they'll tell you, the Catholics will, that they believe the Bible, but only the church can interpret it. And so whenever the church, whenever the Bible began to be translated to where you didn't have to know Latin, where the priest in those days were able to read the Bible and tell the people what it meant, now we're able to read the Bible for ourselves in our own language. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Aren't you glad that you don't have to rely on any one person to tell you what God's Word says? The Bible says we all have the Holy Spirit. And as believers, we can go to the Bible and we can read it for ourselves, and we don't have to have someone. It's nice to have people help you understand it, as we all do, but we don't have to rely on that, and we have a Bible that's translated into our language, and I am thankful for that. Another doctrine is that a priest, where people will go to the priest, confess their sins. A priest, of course, is a mediator between God and man. And the Bible teaches that we as believers, every one of us, we are priests. We don't need any other human to go to God on our behalf for us. We can go straight to God through the mediator, the man Christ Jesus. He is our only high priest there, and we go to him. Two more doctrines of the Catholic Church, and we'll move on. Mary, known as the Mother of God, even in their prayers there. And I mentioned verse 18. When Jesus is introducing himself to this church, he makes it clear that he's the Son of God, not the Son of Mary. Now, Mary was a holy lady. And we think a lot of Mary because when we get to the Christmas story, we read about her godliness and her trust in God. But the Catholics will put her equal with deity. And they have a doctrine what is called perpetual virginity. Now, we believe that Mary was a virgin when Jesus was born. But they would carry it further than that and say that she was always a virgin. Now, there obviously comes a problem with what the Bible talks about the half-brothers of Jesus. You know, how did he have half-brothers? How did Mary have other children if that were so? Obviously some problems there, even considering Mary to be sinless there. And there's in the Catholic doctrine that she was taken to heaven without dying, that she suffered with Christ. When she saw Christ suffering on the cross, that she suffered with him because she was his mother, and together they took care of our sins. That's not what the Bible says, is it? And so this doctrinal era was going on in the church, and they were allowing this. And so he is pointing out their sins. And the last one is salvation. Faith plus works. Sure, you believe God, but that's not enough. You've got to do some things to help God earn our salvation there. Keeping the sacraments is part of that. It helps you earn grace. Paul said to the Romans in verse 6 of chapter 11, he said, if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You know, and we can't add works to grace and it still be grace. It's grace and works. And that is a teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. And we believe that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 there. And so those are some of the sins, and we'll move on to the message now that he gives to the church. He gives a message to the majority of people in the church, and then later on he'll say, and to the rest, that is to a minority there. To the majority of the people in verse 22, they're going to go through great tribulation. That means they're not saved. Because we know that the Bible teaches that believers are going to be raptured up out. And we're not going to go through the tribulation there. And then he goes on to say that her children will die. You ever wonder when the Bible, when we read that in verse 23, it says, I will kill her children with death. Well, if you killed them with death, is there any other thing to kill them with? I mean, if you're killed, you're dead there. And, of course, in our King James Bibles, it's an emphasis there. They're going to die. All of those followers, the fruit of their labor is what it's talking about here with children. There, Jezebel in the Old Testament, she was given 20 years to repent, and then she was literally thrown to the dogs, wasn't she? And they came and ate her and licked her blood as the prophet had prophesied would happen to Jezebel. And Jesus is talking with the judgment that's coming, the eyes and the feet of brass, judgment is coming there to all those who are deceived by false doctrine. Doctrine is important, isn't it? It's very important that we hold true to the Word of God. He goes on to say to this church that Jesus searches the reins and the hearts. For salvation, he's not looking to see what you did to earn your way into heaven, because there's nothing we can do to earn our way into heaven. God searches the heart. But they had put so much emphasis on works. He goes on in verse 23, and the message to the rest of them, he says, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. And we will be judged by our works. The Bible talks about those that are saved as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive our rewards. Judge doesn't mean condemned to hell. Judge means the evidence is weighed and the verdict is given. And after we're saved, the works that we have, and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and then he rewards us according to our faithfulness there. And the Bible teaches also that those who are lost, there's going to be a judgment of works. And there's going to be greater condemnation for some than others. I can't explain how some people in hell will have greater condemnation than other people in hell, but I know that's what the Bible teaches there. And then he goes on and he speaks to the minority, to the rest. Back then, and even today, there are some within the Roman Catholic Church that are genuine believers. So it would be wrong for us to say all Catholics are going to hell and all Catholics are wrong. When we talk about it, we talk about Catholicism, the teachings of that Roman Catholic Church. And so he says to them in verse 24, that I will put none other burden on you, meaning that there are some that are there that are not going to go through the tribulation. There are those who are the rest, the remnant, God's true church there. And in every one of these ages of history, regardless of how many virtues they had or how many sins they had, they're always God's remnant. God always has a people that's faithful to him. Through the Old Testament we see that, and through the New Testament, and even in our time today, we see a lot of churches and denominations going off into false teachings. But God is faithful there, and we need to stay faithful to his word. And he says, hold fast till I come, in verse 25. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Hold on to to the doctrine of Christ until he comes. Don't get involved in the depths of Satan, as it mentions in verse 24. Do you know that Satan has a counterfeit for just about everything, if not everything, that God has? Over in 1 Corinthians 2:10, remember it tells us that the Holy Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Well, Satan has his deep things as well. And we saw in chapter 1, verse 1 of Revelation, that he gave this book and signified it. He gave it with signs and symbols. And so Satan also has his signs and symbols. And sometimes they're hidden. They might be hidden in doctrine. They might be hidden in music. They might even be hidden in some of your kids' toys or in video games. Satan has his signs and symbols hidden because he counterfeits everything that God does there. And so we need to be aware of that. Now he comes to the promise to the overcomers. The promise to the overcomers. One of the things that Rome had always wanted, and that was power over the other nations there. And he says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, I'll give him power over the nations there." The word rule in verse 27, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, is the word for shepherd. When Christ comes back and we are his representatives on earth and we rule with him, it's going to be as a shepherd there. And that's what he does to us. He shepherds his sheep there. And we sang the song, "Victory in Jesus," and we're going to have the victory there. You heard the song about the potter this morning as Jennifer was singing that. In verse 27, it says, "And he shall rule them," or shepherd them, "with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." The potter, he makes it as he sees fit. He molds it. He discards it as he sees fit. He breaks one over and he starts again. And that's what the potter does. And the last thing we see, the promise to the overcomers, is he will give them the morning star. What is the morning star? Look, if you will, to the end of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 16. It says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." Just as the morning star ushers in the sun, Jesus is the morning star that will usher in the millennial kingdom here. And so Jesus is the morning star. Isaiah 14:12, referring to Lucifer, and you know the word Lucifer means light, lucid there, part of that root. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Some translations have translated that morning star, which is an incorrect translation of that, because Jesus is the only morning star there. And so he makes this promise. And as we saw, all four churches in Ephesus, they had left their first love. There's a promise there. There, if we overcome the desires, and the word Ephesus means desires, Smyrna, for being faithful even in times of persecution. We saw the promise for Pergamos, the marriage of the church to the state, overcoming corruption, and now to the church of Thyatira. If we overcome false doctrine, doctrine is important. I am glad that in that article I read that for this one time on one issue, doctrine won out there. And God's word is true. And let every man be a liar, the Bible says there. And may we always hold true to the word of God. It's important to have faith and many works as this church did. But we need to hold true to the word of God. Truth is so important. The truth is what sets people free from sin. And let's not give in to the errors of false teachings, no matter how popular or politically correct they are. Let's hold true to the Word of God so we don't follow into the realm of Thyatira. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God, the truth that's there for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us as Sumter Bible Church, that we would hold true to the Word of God without wavering. Lord, help us to do so in a manner that demonstrates the love of Christ as we serve one another.